First thing I wanted to mention is some of you probably saw this about a week or so ago. There was an article or a piece in NBC Nightly News about the reverse mortgage. It seemed to be very positive. And so I put the link on here. And if you haven't looked at the piece, please do so today if you can. I think it's something that you'll find useful, especially if you had a past client who kind of just sat on the fence, convinced to move forward. This may be something to send them by email, though it's certainly something that you can send to other people as well, even business affiliates, you know, some people you know, and maybe you're not quite sure if they're totally on board with, you know, what reverse mortgages are about. I think it wouldn't hurt to send them this and let them know. It's just a couple minutes long. It's not very long at all. 10, 15 minutes of their time or whatever. But I think pieces like this are important for you to keep, utilize at your convenience. You might be using this piece a year from now. Make sure to keep information like this, whether it's articles or whether it's video links. Please keep them someplace so you can tap into them whenever you feel it's appropriate. In relation to that, I wanted to talk just real briefly about videos. I don't know if any of you are able to get on YouTube and create your own video. My daughter does it for her business, and I know it's very simple. I've never done it myself, but it's something that I'm going to look into for reverse mortgage because you can easily create some of your own videos, have them right there on YouTube, and send those links to people and have them look at that. Now, I would suggest not to put on a 10 or 15 minute diatribe about how great reverse mortgages are. I would suggest doing things that are pretty short, maybe 90 seconds to maybe 3 minutes long. And if you're going to do something like this, what I would do is tailor it to different things. Like maybe you talk about the HECM for purchase. Maybe you talk on another one, you talk about line of credit. On another one, you talk about, you know, maybe the benefits of paying off your current mortgage. So what I would do if you're going to decide to get into video is I would probably organize it so you've got a series of short videos and you can present them according to what your client's needs are. And you can also set up a YouTube channel where they can just, somebody can link, they can click on your channel and it'll have all your videos right there. And they can just pick and choose what they want to look at. But it's something, you know, obviously that you can send to people by email. You can, you know, send it to by, you know, postal mail. But I think as we're becoming more internet savvy and more technologically oriented, this is one of the ways of how we're going to find clients and how we're going to convince people that reverse mortgage is the thing to do. I hope all of you are reading reverse mortgage daily on a daily basis. If for some reason you're not getting it, send me an email. I'll send you the link. It's totally free. But they've had a number of articles I think you've all seen in the last few weeks in which they talk about how some studies have been done recently, and it shows how the vast majority of people 55 and over in America have terribly incorrect assumptions about the reverse mortgage. Not even nuanced incorrect assumptions, but assumptions that are so ridiculous that it makes you laugh. Also, only 11% of seniors either have or are considering using equity as part of their retirement future. Financial planners and a lot of other so-called experts are telling us that that's going to change, but the only way it can change is by us getting the word out there, and quite honestly, if we can create videos and things like that where people can look at it at their leisure, I think for some people that's going to be, you know, more convincing rather than just listening to us talk, because sometimes they turn you off. You know, video, like I said, they can look at it on their own accord. They can make their own decision. But certainly video is a way to go. And, you know, kind of as an aside, I was talking to a client last week who I'm going to go out and see next week and take an application on. And she told me that she recently told a friend about the reverse mortgage. She said a friend of hers, I told her recently, a friend who's in her 70s, that her money has become really tight and she's not really sure if she can continue to afford to live in her home. So my friend said, well, why don't you do a reverse mortgage? Your house is paid off, you'll get lots of money back. And the woman said, I would never do that and lose my home. She goes, what are you talking about? She goes, well, everybody knows that Obama's stealing the homes of all these reverse mortgage people, and that's where they're secretly putting in these illegal Syrian immigrants. Now, I don't know where people get some of these crazy stories from. I don't know if some people are just bipolar or schizophrenic and they come up with some of this stuff on their own, or what. I have seen some things written in the internet that say things just about as crazy as that, and I'm sure sometime when people put reverse mortgage in a Google search, they'll see some of these crazy articles. But that's what we have to counteract, and any way we can do it is really going to help us. Now, you can also create videos for, you know, your own website. You can also create videos and share them through text, through text on your phone. So, please, as you move forward over the next few months and you try to figure out, what am I going to add to my tool belt? What else am I going to do to try to find clients? I would certainly consider video, because I think, like I said, video is the way of the future. The younger people are all doing it. And I think as we have more, people turning 62 who've been using computers for the last 20 years, it's going to become more and more popular. So that's pretty much what I wanted to mention today. So, Ed, you can take over.
Well, a couple of quick things on YouTube. I've got a couple of YouTube channels that I've been using for other purposes because I've done videography for the last 4 years. One of the nice things about it is if you share a video, you have to make sure that when you create a video and put it on YouTube, that you make sure that the settings are such that it is viewable on all platforms. Okay, if it's not viewable on all platforms, people won't be able to watch it on a cell phone. Now, if you create a video and put it on YouTube and it is available to be viewed on all platforms, if you send a link in the form of a text message to somebody, to their cell phone, when they click on that, their cell phone is going to automatically pop up a message that say, go to this link, and when they say yes, the nice thing is that it just goes straight to the video. It doesn't give you the whole page view on YouTube. It's just the video. You can just tell them in your text, just turn your phone sideways and watch the video, because that's all that'll pop up is the video. And if you need any help with YouTube, let me know. I've been using it now since 2011, so I'm pretty familiar with how it works. The other thing is that, one of the things we will probably start to do is we'll probably start to add some embedded videos into our website. They will originate on YouTube, but they'll be embedded so that when people click on them, it just plays, through YouTube on our website. Kind of like the way videos play on Facebook when they're embedded. Anyway, that's all I had on that. One of the things that I wanted to cover, we had a loan just recently where our borrower just wanted a line of credit. And right before the closing, it turned out she had some major car repairs, and so she changed her mind and decided to ask for a little bit more money at closing. And then apparently, my guess is she may have suddenly had another need for money after the loan closed. All of a sudden she's wondering, how do I access my money? Well, one thing you have to understand is it takes 2 to 4 weeks after the funding before they're going to receive the instructions on how to access their line of credit. And the reason for that is that loan, after it funds, it has to go through the shipping department at the lender. It has to be reviewed by a couple of different people before they ship it out to the, you know, to the final investor. Most of these loans are, you know, the final investor is going to be Reverse Mortgage Solutions. Reverse Mortgage Solutions reviews all the documents. They have to make sure that all of the important documents like the deed of trust and things like that have been recorded. They need to make sure they've been electronically registered in the MIRROR system. And once all that is done, then what they will do is they will actually send out a welcome letter. You might want to tell your clients right up front that, look, if you have an anticipated need for funds from your line of credit anytime within the next 30 to 45 days, it would be suggested that they go ahead and take that money at closing. You know, otherwise, they could be waiting. And they, I mean, there's no guarantee that it'll be done in 2 weeks, and there's no guarantee that it'll be available in four. It just depends on how long it takes to you know, for that loan to move through the system and get into a final position to where they can access the funds. We don't want them to get caught short, and they've got this reverse mortgage sitting here with all their equity available, can't access it because they're waiting for the information on how to do that. We had another loan recently. Now, this, what we're getting ready to talk about real quick, doesn't happen very often. If you run across a situation where you've got a, let's say you have a borrower, they either have, number one, either an IRS lien that's been recorded against their property, or they've got two mortgages, they've got a first and a second mortgage. And when you initially run the numbers, you end up, they're short to close. And so you tell them, well, we can't do it, you know, you're short to close this much money. And, you know, their first response is going to be, well, you know, you've told them the reason for it is either this IRS lien or this second mortgage. And they say, well, so if I pay that off, I could do the loan. And, you know, theoretically, the answer would be yes. Well, in this particular case, we had a client that just took it upon themselves to go out and get a personal loan and paid off a second mortgage. Now, that was like 2.5 weeks prior to doing the loan application. Now, here's the problem that occurred is that loan, that second mortgage, still appeared on the credit report and it appeared on the initial title. Both of those were a situation that it would have to be explained to your investor that, well, that loan's been paid off. Well, how was that loan paid off? So it opens up the source and seasoning issue. You know, how did they get the money to pay off this lien? And the list of available and allowable sources for lien payoffs is pretty short. And one of them that's not on there is borrowing the money. You know, you can't go out and put $10,000 on your credit card to pay off a second mortgage. That's not going to be allowed. But there is a way around it. Both Reverse Mortgage Solutions, who we're now signed up with, and Finance America Reverse, they provided a way how this is not going to be scrutinized. Neither one of them would put detailed instructions in writing for it. Our contact with RMS basically said, I'm not going to do it any other way except through a phone call. And FAR, basically, I got an email back saying, for this to not be a problem, this is the way the loan has to be submitted. First of all, the lien, or whatever it was that was paid off, it cannot appear on title. Now, one thing you have to understand is if we're talking about an IRS lien, let's say somebody had a $5,000 IRS lien that was just the difference in being able to do the loan, it takes a while for them to issue a release. And you have to kind of school your borrower on that they have got to, you know, they've got to stay on top of the IRS, because the IRS can take 90 days to finally provide a release of lien and get it filed. And IRS is one of these people that they will file the release. They won't send you a release to file yourself like mortgage companies will. Secondly, the lien that they just paid off must not show with a balance still remaining on the credit report. In other words, it has to show a zero balance. So if they just paid it off, most of these people report in 30-day cycles. When it comes to the IRS, who knows how they report? Generally, the IRS lien is going to show up as a public record. It's got to show a zero balance on the credit report when the loan is submitted. If it has a balance on the initial credit report, then a second clean credit report has to be pulled 30 to 45 days later after a cycle occurs. If it shows a balance on the second report, then you've got to get the borrower involved, and they've got to call the that lender and tell them they've got to update their credit report information. Now, because the only way that we can get them to update their information is to do a credit supplement, but a credit supplement won't work for this. It's got to be a clean credit report. Now, we can order as many credit reports as we want to through reverse vision. If you go in and delete the first credit report and then reorder again, then it basically just populates a whole new credit report. And the other one's, history. The loan that they used to pay it off, let's say they borrowed money to pay it off. Okay. Ideally, it would appear on the credit and be counted in FA collections. If it doesn't appear on credit, you have got to go in and manually enter it as, one of their monthly obligations. If it shows as a creditor inquiry, obviously it's going to have an LOE and the information on the loan. So one thing about that is you can't, the letter of explanation should not say, I use this to pay off a loan. You don't ever want to say that. Just say it was a personal loan. That's all you got to do. Okay, what happens if the lien balance were still on the credit report and the loan were submitted? Well, the underwriter, when they look at the credit report, the first thing they're going to assume is, here's another mortgage that this person has. Or, here's a lien, here's an IRS lien, whatever. They're going to want something to explain that. If it's a mortgage, they're going to think, well, this is a mortgage on another piece of property that they own. And so they want all the things associated with a second piece of property, two years of tax payment history and 12 months of insurance payment history, so on and so forth. Basically, at that point, you have no choice but to reveal, well, it was a lien on the property, but it's no longer there. And at that point, what they're probably going to do is they're going to adverse the loan. Then, if you're going to submit to a second lender, what you got to do is start over from scratch. So you don't want to get into that position if possible. So any questions on that? Okay, I guess not. All right, I sent an email out earlier, but just wanted to reiterate that we are now approved to submit directly to Reverse Mortgage Solutions. If you weren't already aware, Reverse Mortgage Solutions is the lender investor that most of the other lenders sell their paper to. If we close a loan with Finance America Reverse, it's going to get sold to RMS, and they're going to service it. RMS right now, I've sent an email to Mike to put everybody on the price sheet list. I'm not sure when that'll happen, but you should start getting price sheets from RMS. When I checked this morning, their pricing is a little bit better than everybody else. Not to mention, and Lawrence may be able to fill you in on this, but they've got a better situation on pricing on line of credit loans. The other thing that's good is that Lawrence and I both, have a fairly long standing relationship with the AE, Mike Suits, over at Reverse Mortgage Solutions. And he's actually located here in Austin, lives about 15 minutes away from where I do. They're also a Texas-based lender. The other thing is homeowner insurance coverage requirements. In case you didn't know, the amount of coverage that they're required to have on their home in terms of structure replacement is determined by subtracting the site value on the appraisal from the total appraisal value. In other words, if you've got a home that appraises for $150,000 and they've assigned a site value of $50,000, then that basically means that the structure's worth $100,000, and you have to have at least that much coverage in insurance. What we're finding is most of our clients have already had more coverage than what their home, in many instances, what their home was actually worth. But occasionally we run across one where they need to increase their coverage. When that happens, you know, one of the reasons you get a copy of the appraisal as soon as it happens is that, you know, so you can go in there and look at the value, and then you can go back and look at the deck page and see if they had enough coverage, and you can give them a heads up. You know, we're gonna send a coverage increase to your insurance agent, and you need to call your insurance agent and tell him that it's okay to increase the coverage. You know, we send that increase out, but the agent won't make that change, or he shouldn't make that change, can't legally make that change until the borrower actually gives him the go ahead. In terms of how fast that particular condition gets handled, it's somewhat up to the borrower to make it happen. Just want everybody to be aware of that. And that's all I've got to cover today. Has anybody got anything else to throw out?
Well, Pat, the only thing I wanted to mention, in accordance to what you were talking about, RMS will pay a minimum amount on the yield spread for each loan. And what that helps ensure is if we have a client who's leaving everything or almost everything in the line of credit, we can still make at least something respectable on the back end. Just to give you an example, if the home appraises for $300,000 or more, we'll get a minimum of $3,500 on the yield spread. And they have a tier system, so obviously it goes down a little. But if you've got a client who has, like I said, they just say they're going to take out the line of credit, or just about everything's going in the line of credit, you're probably going to be a lot better off sending that to RMS. You're going to make a lot more money on it, typically speaking. So that's it from here.
So RMS also will do the servicing, so it won't be transferred shortly after closing, right? Correct.
If we do it directly with RMS, it'll basically they're going to be servicing the loan. I checked their pricing this morning. I mean, taking 60% on of the, you know, the maximum amount at the low MIP premium level was like $115,300 pricing, which is it's unheard of. I mean, it's like, I had a meeting last week with Mike Kilgore, came by from Quicken Loans, and he says, what can I do to get your guys to do more forward mortgages? And I said, you know, it's hard to compete with, you know, 115 pricing. But, you know, and to cover that real quick, I mean, this is something everybody needs to understand, is if you want to do a forward loan, I understand that if you did them in the past, part of the reason probably that you want to do reverses is that doing forward mortgages is kind of like needing to know an encyclopedia of information in determining what loan product would be the best. And the good news is that with Quicken, you can contact Mike directly and say, here's my scenario, and he can actually suggest the best loan program and help you set it up. You don't have to know, you know, you don't have to become an expert in several different loan programs. You know, he can help you with that. You know, I realize that, you know, 150 bips isn't very much on loan, but the thing you got to remember is that forward loans ultimately can lead to a reverse mortgage at some point in the time. So, you know, so you can, I mean, you get referrals, you know, all different kinds of referrals from people you've done business with before. So it can, you know, a forward mortgage can always lead to a reverse at some point in the future. That's it.
That's all I have here.
Yep.
Can I ask one question?
Okay.
Sure. On the RMS, the training schedule that you sent out, Pat, we were already past the fundamental and all of that. It kind of suggested doing that before you do the others. Will there be the same offering in June, starting in June again?
Just about every one of these lenders will send out a training calendar every month. Once Mike gets everybody on the price sheet, list, email list, you know, and everybody's automatically getting the price sheets. They'll automatically get the training schedules too.
So, okay, so we're not really set up yet to go into the training.
Well, you will be. You should get you should get an email from Mike any day. I mean, you know, he said it'd take him a little bit, but he'd get everybody in the system. So you should automatically. I haven't been, Lawrence, have you looked? Has anybody looked on? I just didn't look. I mean, I was in reverse vision this morning. I just didn't look to see if our RMS products are showing up in there. Huh?
I thought I saw RMS in there. I'll check again, but I thought they were already in our.
It should already be there. Basically, it all works the same. It doesn't really matter. The first thing that I've got to do, their submission checklist is, you know, been condensed down onto one page and in a real easy to follow format. And I'm going to redo it. It should be pretty close to what we're using now, but I'll put it into a format that I can work with. I work with the checklist in a Excel program so that I can add information, which you can't do on a, you know, on a PDF sheet. So I should get that out in a day or two. You know, so you'll have that.
Yeah,
I mean, basically
everything. I'll just figure out all the help I can get, guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically everything is the same. I mean, if you follow the checklist for FAR, anybody else, it's going to be the same. So I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, we can actually submit a loan to RMS with an FAR checklist attached to it in that order, and they don't care. Well, that's it for me.